If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
If you're feeling pressure to put in that check, it's probably not the way to go.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Dan is an active real estate investor and fundraiser, leveraging self-directed accounts, self-directed IRA, and solo 401k accounts to create a diversified real estate portfolio yielding double-digit returns. He specializes in niche asset classes, including self-storage, last-mile industrial, and Rust Belt retail. Dan, a native of Scranton, Pennsylvania, currently resides with his wife and son in Austin, Texas. Hey, Dan, welcome to the show.
Awesome, brother. Great to be with you, Sam.
Absolutely, man. It's good to connect again. I know we met here maybe a year or so ago at the Bigger Pockets Conference in Nashville. Kind of been following what you've been doing, but I don't really know your story that well. And so I'm going to ask you the same kind of three questions I ask every person who comes on. You know, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how'd you get there?
So started in Scranton, PA, and kind of lived a very typical life, working a W-2, maxing out my 401k. Right around 2007, 2008, had a taste of Austin, Texas, which, you know, they say keep Austin weird, the alternative lifestyle. And, I started sniffing around at, something outside of the traditional lifestyle. Fast forward a few years, I was co-best man in a wedding. And the other gentleman said, hey, do you you want to invest with me? I flip houses. I said, I don't know what that is. He said, it makes 15%. I said, I'm in. And then, you know, the golden light bulb from there was he also shared that I can use my retirement dollars. So, you know, from here, my natural interest kind of going from, I'd say, the typical W-2 corporate world more into a more entrepreneurial sort of setting, both from my day job, my investing, my money, my head and heart, et cetera. It really brought me into the real estate tech world, the alternative investing world, one of which included Rocket Dollar, which I call a kind of a new age 21st century self-directed provider. And now, you know, I'm an advisory partner with BB Capital. So, you know, really falling in love with one of my investments, the team, the community, and, you know, much like you, the type of niche investment opportunities that are out there that, frankly, I feel for investors pay a greater return at a, you know, relative lower risk. And that's exciting for me.
Gotcha. So kind of break it down for us, if you can, the type of assets you have previously invested in, kind of where you guys are going on that front, and kind of what does scaling look like for you?
Yeah, great question. So probably many folks here, as a light LP investor, as I said, hard money lending, flipping houses, and most folks fortunately have been great. I've learned some real world, school of hard knocks, MBA lessons that way, which I'm happy I did earlier on before there was a few extra zeros on that. But, I would say the one thing is, never pretend to play lawyer or never feel too good about yourself, I think is, you know, the takeaways that I'll mention to anybody. But, you know, what I really understood, I was fortunate. I mentioned real estate tech. I was with Sparefoot, the hotels.com, the self-storage, and got to meet everybody in the space who I felt were some of the top operators and marketers. They went on their own about 5 years ago and kind of just teaming up with them, both from where I invested and just naturally evangelizing that I felt this was just a very strong asset class that pays the consistent dividend and also, you know, the back end upon sale.
Gotcha. So what, when you guys are moving forward, what is it that you guys are looking to when you move into with BB, you know, what do you call BBK or BB?
Yeah. So with BB Capital, here is, you know, they've had a lot of success in the multifamily side, and they also recognize what I like to call is a, you know, last mile industrial. So obviously, we've been through we just finished up a very unique 2020, to say the least. But, you know, things that have been considered essential, think of something like, you know, a floor and decor. I like to say things, you know, Amazon's not delivering 100 pounds of tile to your front porch, at least not yet. And then more on the non-retail side of industrial, you know, somebody might be, here's an example, making parts that are eventually going to be purchased by the U.S. government. Think the DOD. So something like really, really, it's not going anywhere, basically. And these are also very solid tenants from that standpoint. They're cash flowing. They may have also invested in the property. So when you think of all that, the commitment and the kind of contracts, the cash flow, the relatively, I'd say, low level of risk that goes in, it's a very comforting investment, particularly that most folks, have money just cash sitting on the sidelines. So I like to think of it as, and I think I'm stealing from Forbes here, but you know, a bond wrapped in real estate. So most folks, you know, you're sitting on 0-1% cash when you can, from an IRR, make, you know, low double digits percentage. And for me, that just seems that much like how I felt about storage, you know, a few years ago. Hey, this is a great 20 plus IRR. This is just a message I want to share with, you know, my community.
Gotcha. That's interesting. I guess as you've gone through the years and you've invested in a variety of asset classes, what are some things you've learned both from a personnel and team side of things? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I guess, yeah, let's just start there.
I mean, I think your question's spot on. It really does come to the personnel and team versus a solo person. You know, I said some of my earlier mistakes, and I even went boots on the ground and the project was going to be done in 3 months, but, you know, it wasn't. And this was just a solo person involved, and he just didn't have the management of a, you know, a faraway contracted team. So, you know, and this was on a single property. So for me, my mindset is, well, what's something that the demand's always there? You have multiple tenants, so such as a multifamily or self-storage, that you also have a relatively, you know, say large team up top in terms of the marketing, the operations, but then the actual property, maybe just one or two people versus kind of the flip side of that triangle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got you. And then I guess some of those lessons you learned, can you walk us through some of the lessons, I guess the hard lessons you learned? You said, hey man, this is something I would never do again, or this is absolutely something that I would repeat.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the not doing again, as I shared, you know, one I think is, you know, particularly for single assets, so think single family, you really have to look at track record. And there's so many things that can go, I think, wrong with that. I'm not saying in a large project it cannot, but you're really, you know, there's just too many things from a single property, you know, particularly something that hasn't been around the block multiple times. So I think that's one. You know, the flip side, I think, is folks that, you know, have done their diligence, proven the returns, and frankly, have put their money, not just saying, you know, sweat equity and, you know, their hard money, which, you know, I do expect at this point from the GP, but somebody that has, like, much like yourself, to say, here's niches that we've looked into, you know, we kind of made that investment on paper, it made sense a few years ago, then we put a chip in, and now we're going to be the major chip that goes through with it. So that's a sort of track that I lurk. And then, you know, finally is somebody, you know, what's their level of education, kind of servant leadership. And I don't say this as a tagline, but, you know, do they educate their community? You know, particularly new folks going in at the peer level, where at the standpoint, it's kind of, you're just so confident in your own shoes and your own deal and your own property that you don't mind sharing with others because you might gain a bit of wisdom back from that. So that's something that I look strongly at. And I love all the folks, you know, kind of the guests that you've had on and otherwise. And these are a lot of people I look up to and, you know, would want to reach out to.
Right. So it sounds like for me, one of the keys to your success has been finding key operators along the way in the different asset classes.
It absolutely has been. And, you know, as I like to say, there's always kind of a, you know, the smaller chips you put in to see if they get to, you know, it depends on how long, you know, particularly just, you know, a short-term property, you know, say a year or less, 18 months or less, you do want to see them maybe go round trip, meaning that, you know, the property will sell, you will get your principal back before kind of chipping in higher, or somebody that shares, here's my pro forma, here's what I'm going to do, meaning I'm going to start paying dividends monthly, or we're going to hold off two years, but then we're going to double the value of the property, much like, you know, in a parking, a self-storage deal, you have some, you know, land in back, without doing a capital call, without diluting. So if folks kind of follow through on what they say on, you know, then I'm comfortable putting, you know, either another chip down or going on the back end GP side.
Right. And so when I guess that's been one of the ways you vetted your operators is mm-hmm. really to go small at first and see kind of how it performs and then go bigger if it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's worked for me. I know there could be other scenarios and I mean, and I'm, being that I've done more with my retirement account than call it the piggy bank checking account, I'm not an expert in opportunity zones, but, you know, strategically OZs, QOZs would have been, you know, you had more benefits kind of in previous years as it goes down just because of the tax loss. So that if that was a track and I did not go down that track, you know, that would have been a consideration maybe to add a, you know, a larger stack of chips because you're gaining the tax advantages over a longer time.
Gotcha. That's fascinating. When it comes to raising capital, you've obviously experienced it from the rocket dollar side of things, bringing, you know, having self-directed people bring their money in and watching that get deployed. What's something, you know, you see investors doing right and something maybe you see them doing that they could do better on the capital raise front? Like what advice would you give to somebody raising capital?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost is to realize, you know, you always want to provide education to your audience and make them aware of what they have to invest. So a very, very basic example, I go back to, you know, myself at 30 years old, I was doing the W-2 career. I was not aware that I can tap into my six-figure 401k to invest in private assets, something as simple as a hard money loan, an LP investment in a, you know, a self-storage or a multifamily. So many syndicators, especially up and coming, it's literally, it's one sentence. Did you know you can use your retirement dollars to invest with me? And after that, you know, whether you go to somebody, you know, like a Rocket Dollar, one of the kind of longtime custodians out there, when you add this up, the pool is 10 trillion with a T. It's an astronomical number. Wow. And roughly 100 billion or so. And this is over the course of 50 years. So only about 1% are in these accounts. And, you know, behind that, there's another, you know, call it 20 plus trillion of, call it your, you know, your current 401k at your day job, that eventually this will roll in some inherited money. And then for all of our self-employed friends, you know, hopefully, you know, looking in the crystal ball, you know, for our realtor buddies out there, 1099 folks, they did this back in December, but a solo 401k is extremely powerful because you can defer, you know, well over 50,000, you know, of your earnings annually into a retirement account that you can thereafter invest. So, you know, thinking about this, you know, as a sponsor, as a fundraiser, it's just simple awareness. And, you know, kind of a, what I've seen, you know, anybody that a sponsor that on a regular basis has educated their community, whether on their monthly emails or otherwise, they're pulling 10 to 20% of their money from retirement accounts. And what's great about this is, one, you're getting some add-ons. Two, people that are very bullish might say, if you think of the seed versus tree analogy, you know, I want to take my Roth money, put 100K with you. Let's have a relationship for 10 years, you know, and assuming you're going to, you know, have 5-year terms on your deals, this can turn into a $500,000. And I'd much rather pay, you know, on the Roth than otherwise. And then finally, you know, on this, there's a fair amount of folks, whether it's, you know, call it the COVID transition, or I have three of my kids in college now, the only way that I can fund a deal is for my old retirement. And that's kind of what I feel was the beauty and, you know, kind of the warm-hearted message that for sponsors that really engage, they would always find that one investor that this, you know, they really wanted to get into that deal, but this was the only way that they could. So, you know, my bet is that over the 2020s, we're going to see more people that are going to want to take back control of their retirement. And all they really need is, frankly, a little tap on the shoulder to make them aware that they could.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. I think that's one of the things I've experienced is how many people don't know that that's even a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, and I've taught a lot of my friends, you know, very educated, you know, attorneys, doctors, you know, people like that. And you're like, did you know you can direct your own money? And they're like, what? I can do that? Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed, you can. So that's really cool. When it comes to the final four, if you were to take everything mm-hmm. you know, and you were to distill okay. it down to one piece of advice for an aspiring investor, what would that one piece of advice be?
Take it slow. Don't be afraid to ask too many questions. And, you know, I think it's very important, you know, to do the boots on the ground or meet in person with who you're investing in if it's your first time. I get it. It's COVID. Maybe we're doing webinars, but, you know, or Zoom calls. But the equivalent thereof, I think, is, you know, very important. And also, too, it, you know, particularly for a new investor, if you're feeling pressure to put in that check, it's probably not the way to go. I'll tell you that much. You know, I'm always extremely cautious. I always think, you know, if I was trying to sell my widowed mother on something, you know, I'm going to be hyper, hyper cautious before, you know, I try to push, you know, the pedal to the metal even a little bit. So those would be my, you know, piece of advice.
No, that's great. That's great. And when it comes to investing in yourself, what's one thing you're doing currently to stay on top of your game?
Yeah. So, you know, it's different asset classes for me have been awesome. So, you know, and I love what you're doing, you know, kind of in the parking space and some of the other things that you look at. You know, I mentioned the last mile industrial. I think that's great. You know, I'm originally from Scranton, PA. So kind of that, you know, Rust Belt line, Rust Belt retail, if you think of something that, you know, would have like a Walgreens and a Dollar Tree. Well, guess what? A lot of Americans, especially at Walgreens and probably also Dollar Tree to pick up stuff. It's pretty strong from a, you know, a tenant base standpoint. And, you know, there's other things that I'm entertaining. I also, you know, just from still being, you know, part of the real estate tech scene, I get to hear of a whole lot of things of, you know, call them derivatives of Airbnb and stuff, which, you know, I'm not wholeheartedly recommending one way or the other, but it's definitely of interest to have those conversations with folks.
Just keeping your ear to the ground. That's one thing that really helps you stay sharp. So that's fantastic. When it comes to giving back, what's one way you're making the world a better place?
A nonprofit I've been associated with since the days of my hair, Hugh O'Brien Youth, H-O-B-Y. It's a leadership seminar for high school sophomores. It's fantastic. It definitely changed me. It's been around 60 plus years, just tremendous folks. The crux here is that, to allow high school sophomores, just guide them how to think kind of in an environment with folks from across the state or the region that they probably would not meet otherwise or too much later in life. So, with that also, I've also been, fortunate to take the time, back in 2020 and previously to mentor at the likes of Capital Factory in Austin, Texas. And, hopefully there's been some bits of wisdom, on follow-up calls with some great people that I've met in the audience on these podcast webinars.
Right. Oh, that's awesome, Dan. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. So LinkedIn is great. Of course, please reference that you heard me here if there's any questions you have. And happy to continue the conversation.
Awesome. Dan, thanks so much for your time. I certainly appreciate it.
Awesome, brother. Great to see you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor, and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.